We'll find him when we seek him with the whole heart. He'll not reveal himself with half-hearted religion. It's got to be wholehearted salvation. And I'm glad, thank God, that it is that way. Well, let's turn in our Bibles this morning, if you would, to the Song of Solomon. Again today, church, the Song of Solomon, chapter number 8 and verse number 7. I don't know where the sniffles and I'm looking at is from a flu or whether you got a little broken heart. I'm going to say that it's from the heart. I'm not going to lay it on to a cold. I'm going to say, praise God, we slung snot all over the walls this morning, buddy. Amen. We'll give God the glory for it anyway. Amen. That's one way of giving Him the glory for a cold. Just lay there and that snot, just praise God, just slang snot all over everything. Say, thank God that He's broke my heart and caused me to snot today in the house of God. That's wonderful. Let's stand together, Song of Solomon, and chapter number 8, and we'll read one verse of Scripture. We're very slowly winding down our study in Solomon, and we'll close it out within a few weeks. These verses that follow, verse 7, where we'll be this morning, and the verses following that, appear to be somewhat difficult to interpret and preach from, but I'm going to give it my best shot. We may not preach but 5 minutes out of each one of them on Sunday morning, but I'm going to do my best to give you something, the truth at least from them. And you be a-praying that the Lord would give some leadership on where to go when we finish this book. I'm praying about the book of Ruth. I haven't decided on that yet, but I'm praying about the book of Ruth as our next study book, or possibly one of the epistles, the New Testament epistles that Paul wrote. All right, Song of Solomon, chapter number eight, and verse 7. The Bible says that many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Now may God add His blessing to the reading of that text this morning. Our Father, I'm thankful for Thy Word that's been a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path all of these years. I thank You, Lord, for the blessing that it's been to my life. I thank You for the truth of it, knowing that it has made us free. I want to thank You this morning for the grace that it gives us, the correcting power of it. I want to thank You that on every page of the Bible we find the Lord Jesus. I want to ask You this morning to help us. We're just a feeble folk. We're like the conies. We're a feeble folk. But we have built our lodgings, our homes, our houses in the rocks. And not only in the rocks, but on a rock. And I'm thankful for that today. And I pray, O God, that You'd stir our hearts for Thee and for Thee only. Help us, I pray, Lord, this morning to be warm toward Thee. May our hearts be stirred with a reviving spirit. May our souls be blessed. I pray for power to preach and wisdom. I pray for unction and help that can only come from God. So bless me now that I might be a blessing to Your people that are here. Lord, You promised us that Your glory would be in the church, worlds and ages without end. I pray You'll manifest Thyself to us today, and we'll thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I want to read that verse one more time because I'm going to be preaching from the entire verse this morning, where the Bible said, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. Now, it seems to me, I don't know if you've followed in your heart and mind, I trust you have, but it does seem to Brother Hall that I've either preached from or mentioned the love of God and our love for Him on several occasions here lately. And I don't mean to ride a hobby horse, don't intend to do that, but I am preaching through this book and I want to preach it the best I can, line up on line and precept upon precept, that we might get a hold of it for our lives, that it might be, find a place in our heart to bring fruit to God and blessing to our soul. And so I want to try, if God will help me again today, to preach on this thought of enduring love. Not necessarily just God's love for us, although that's what I'm primarily going to be preaching on today, but the fact of enduring love. A love that we cannot be separated from. The Bible said there that love, many waters, cannot quench love. And neither can floods drown love. And if a man would give all the substance of his home, everything that he had for love, that it would just be contemned. It would be a thing that is considered lowly and condemned and would absolutely have no value at all when it comes to this thing of love. You know, regardless if it's the infinite love of God or if it's the finite love of man, that word love seems to be so deep, and really to us it is so mysterious that our mortal tongue finds it, really our mortal tongue, it is difficult to describe and define love. It's a word that is beyond the definition that we find in any dictionary. I don't really believe that even the Strong's Concordance can define the word love the way that it was really meant in the heart of God when God said that He loved the world and gave Himself for it. Now, there is an instinctive love, and that love is such as a mother has for children. You know, it's just an instinctive thing for a mother to love those that she brings into the world. Now, I want to say, friend, that when we read about in the paper or here on the radio in the news about a mother that very cruelly took the life of one of her children, it is because of the hour that we're living in. The Bible said that people would be without natural affection. And we're living right there in the world today when women no longer necessarily have that instinctive love toward their offspring. Now, I tell you, a person, man or woman, is in terribly spiritual condition, friend, when they cannot find it within their own heart to love those that they brought into the world. Amen. And then there is an instructive love. Somebody said, "Preacher, what on earth do you mean an instructive love?" Well, I'm talking about where we're taught like that a husband, for instance, ought to love his wife. The Bible said, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it." And so we've got to be instructed on how to love our wives. That is right. Do you know that man, friend, finds it hard, really, to love his wife? But the Bible will teach us, and if we'll follow according to the Word of God, He will teach us and instruct us from the Bible how that we can love our wives. We find that instructive love also in Titus 2:4, where the older women are to teach the young women how to love their husband. I say we've got to be taught how to love. It's instructive because most marriages are not based upon love. They're based upon lust. We see a woman that we desire in the flesh, and immediately we call it love. Well, I understand where we're coming from as mortals, but the majority of the time it's not real love. It's more lust than it is love. But I tell you, the longer you live with that woman or that man, and the more instruction you receive from the Word of God, the more you learn about them and God's feeling toward them, then the easier it is for us to learn about love, and we can put that love into action. We can do little things that will prove to the fact that we love one another. Now, I'm going to tell you something, gentlemen. You ought to be doing everything within your power to prove that you love that little woman that God has given you as a helpmeet and set down beside you on the pew where you're at. Amen. Miss Hall said something yesterday. Ben and Angie was at the house. And I said, I sprung where she is at. I said, are you feeling all right? And she smiled with a big smile. And she said, I've got him, looked at Benny and said, I've got your daddy right where I want him. All I got to do is act like I'm sick and he comes running. Well, that's true. And I think the reason is because I love her. Since God has allowed her to be sick, I have realized how difficult life would be without the helpmeet that God's given me. And then, hey, in just a few days, we're going to celebrate 35 years of our life together. That's better than half of my life, friend, way over half of my life that I have spent in the same house with that woman. And I must say that when we got married, it wasn't all love. I believe there's a little lust there. But through the Bible and serving God and observing her and living with her, God has taught me to some degree how to love her and respect her and to desire her in my life. Amen and amen. I want to say love also has both an object and it has an objective. Now when we start thinking about godly love, or Christ's love, the object of Christ's love is sinners. But hey, that's right. We are the object of His love. Christ came into the world to save sinners. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, I tell you, I don't understand it, but I believe it, and I do want to enjoy it the best I can, the fact that Christ loved me as a sinner just like I was and had a love in His soul to bring me out of that sin and birth me into the family of God and make me God's child for all time and eternity. We are the objects of His love. Just like the Son is the apple of the Father's eye, you and I that have been redeemed are the apple of the eye of the Son of God. He set His love upon us just because He loved us and condescended to the earth and died the death of the cross. Amen. That He might prove His love for you and I. Oh, what love. The object of Christ's love is sinners. And His objective is that with cords of kindness that He might draw them to Himself and then bless them throughout all eternity. You see, we think that God's love is just an initial act that was bestowed at Calvary. And that's the end of it all. No, friend, His love goes well beyond that. His love, the objective of it is that He might bless us and care for us throughout all time and all eternity. Friend, from point A all the way to the throne of glory, His love is operable within the lives of you and I that have been to Calvary and been saved by the grace of God. Now, I think one of the hardest things in churches today is getting people to realize and to see that God does love them. And we always want to put up a screen. We want to look at, you know, God says He loves us, but I've got this problem. Well, God knew what your problem was long before you did. And He still loved you. And He still loves you today. My text says, many waters cannot quench love. Floods cannot drown love. If all man gave all the substance of his house, every dime that he had to try to buy love, the Bible said that it would ultimately be condemned, a condemned thing, worthless and of no value. You cannot buy love, son. It is something that God just does for you and I. It's unexplainable. You can't buy it. But how wonderful it is. And praise God, you and I need to wake up, get out of our dead lethargy, realize God loves us, come to the house of God, and enjoy the marvelous, wonderful love of God to you and I, His creatures. Amen. Somewhere ought to have been swinging from a chandelier to preaching through Solomon. Yes, sir. And I made up my mind, I'm going to try to. I don't know whether they'll hold me or not, but I'm going to find out one of these days. Jerome just about finds out on that one over there every now and then. Amen. Now, according to our text, the love that Christ and His people have for one another. I said for one another, the Bible said that it, waters cannot quench it. And floods can't drown it. And it cannot be bought. First of all, that love is unquenchable. Many waters cannot quench love. Now, if you can get a hold of that, it's like a thirsty man who cannot get enough water to satisfy him. The more water that he wants or gets, the more water that he wants. That unquenchable love is like a chapped ground that is laid, friend, without water for a long period of time and is cracked open. It just doesn't seem like enough water can fall out of the sky to satisfy the thirst of that ground. Now, I'm telling you, that's the way real love is. The more love you get, the more love you want. And it cannot be satisfied. It's an unquenchable thing. Somebody said, well, what if God stops loving me? Put it far from you. For love, my friend, cannot be quenched. And floods that can't drown it. Well, preacher, what if I grow so cold I stop loving God? Put it far from you. For love, many waters can't quench it. And neither, my friend, can floods drown it. Oh, no, and money can't buy it. It's a wonderful thing. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor power, nor angels, nor things in heaven, nor things in the earth, nor things beneath the earth, can ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's not talking about God's love. That's talking about our love to Him. Nay, in all these things, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. I tell you, love is unquenchable, friend. Many waters cannot quench love. Somebody said, well, I loved a girl once and fell out of love. Never did love her. Huh? She never did love you. I'm talking about real love. I'm not talking about puppy love, girls. Some of you girls, having boys, have a little puppy love when you're 10, 11, 12 years old and think your heart throb for life has come along, and it ain't nothing but a little old puppy love. Yeah. Looking for the real love. Now, I'm going to tell you, hey, that is right, praise God. And most of us adults go through life looking for love and never finding love. And love, are you listening? Love came down on Calvary. Love died on Calvary. Love went to a grave. Love arose from the grave. And love ascended back to God. And love is coming again with life and liberty for all that believe. Bless His wonderful. Woo! Name! Hallelujah! Thank God. You can't quench it. It's like a thirsty man. Drink all of it you want. You're not going to wear it out. It'll never run thin. It'll never hide itself. It's always available, friend. Yes, and it's got great power to bind us together and hold us together in holy matrimony to the Lord Jesus, the Lord of glory. Amen. Thank God. Solomon 2:5. How many remember that? Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples. For I am sick of love. Amen. That little old bride said, said, your love has just made me dizzy. John Gill said she had a fainting fit. that all that love, she just had a fainting fit and just about passed out. But she said, your love is so wonderful. Stay me up with flagons. Prop me up and love me some more. Hold me up that I can love you a little more. Oh yes, she said, comfort me. Stay me with flagons. Comfort me with apples. For I'm sick of love. Amen. I'm telling you, if we ever get sick of love, the lover of our soul will show up. He likes to be around where he's loved. But where he gets a cold shoulder, he doesn't enjoy being in that place. But son, if we'll reach out to him with a heart of love, he'll extend that love to you and I. Amen. Thanks be unto God. His love is unquenchable. I want to say it's unconquerable. You can't conquer it. Neither can floods drown it. It can't be drowned. So I know people, a little old boy named Lee Breedlove. Red Breedlove's boy, when I was just a little old young whippersnapper back in Indiana, crawled up on an old cistern that his daddy had dug and rubbed the top off of it and fell in that cistern and drowned. But I'm telling you, friend, that floods, not just a drop of water, but floods cannot drown love. Son, it'll float on the waters of tribulation. Oh, it'll float on the waters of trial and temptation. It cannot be drowned, son, I tell you. It'll surface to the top like an inflated inner tube and bounce along on the waves of this life and the troubles of this life. Love will just keep on floating on the floods of the waters for the glory of God. It's unconquerable. Oh, Brother Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through him. Who, Brother Hall? Through him that loved us, we're more than conquerors. I'm telling you, that ain't talking about God's love for you and I, friend. That's talking about a saint, a Christian, a child of God's love for the Lord. Somebody said, you don't understand what I'm going through, and that's why I'm cold in heart. No, you cold in heart, friend, because you got a heart problem. Whoa! What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying that tribulation or persecution or famine or nakedness or sword or peril or all those things that are listed cannot conquer the love that we have in our heart for him. If once you've set your love upon him, because of Calvary, that love shall remain for all eternity. It's there, friend. It's there. Amen to God. I won't say his love is unpurchasable. You can't buy love, friend. A bunch of morons that sang years ago knew more about love than most Baptists. That's right, I'm talking about them fellas that came over from England. And they said, money can't buy me love. They're absolutely right. People all around us have the idea, if we can just strike a rich one time, son, that we'll have great love. But my Bible tells me, friend, if we give all the substance of our house for love, it would utterly be content. You can't buy love. Young people got the idea that if they can get a lot of money and have a new car, that people flock to them and love them. No, they'll want what you got, but not necessarily want you. They want your money and your new car. I remember when I had a new car and was young and a few dollars in my pocket, I thought I had friends and thought they loved me. But I learned you cannot buy love. You can't buy it with money. You cannot buy it with paper. You can't. There's no price tag on love. It is a commodity that is so valuable that value cannot be placed upon it. No price tag. No price tag. Bible said in Isaiah, it can't buy it. But Isaiah said in Isaiah 55:1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath No money. Are you broke today? Somebody said, I'm busted. Thank God you're a candidate to enjoy the love of God in your heart. Son, He lifts beggars from the dunghill. Takes the poor and the needy and lifts them out. Places the fatherless into families. Takes the poor and makes them rich. You know why? Because although He was rich, for our sakes He became poor, that we might be made rich in Him. Hallelujah to God. I don't own much of this world, but I got Jesus. I've got Jesus and He loves me. I know that. And I don't need much of this world as long as I got Him. This world's about to melt, but He said, come. He that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Ye come buy wine and milk without money and without price. I'm simply saying, friend, that salvation today cannot be purchased by somebody. It's a gift of Almighty God. Thank God for His unspeakable gift. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. What a gift. Now look here. When God gave us His Son, He gave us His love. And His love, that love is the most valuable commodity in all the world today, friend. I'm trying to define and describe it, but I done told you I can't. So you'll understand I'm doing the best I can with it. Huh? Love. Many waters cannot quench it. Neither can floods drown it. And if a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would be utterly condemned or condemned. Just be a thing, a valueless thing. You know old Simon the sorcerer? When the disciples went down into Samaria and preached the gospel in Acts chapter number 8, old Simon the sorcerer, when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands that the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money, saying, give me also this power, that on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. But Peter said unto him, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. Now I'm telling you, friend, God's grace, God's love, God's mercy, Calvary, cannot be purchased with any kind of money. It's God's free gift to mortal man. That's right, ain't it? Huh? That money perished with old Simon. It'll perish with this crowd today that entertains the idea that their money will get them into heaven. Old Brother Mays Jackson, I heard him preach years ago. He said that he was in a church of preaching, and the fellow found out he was there and called him on the phone. Invited him over to his house and said when he got there, said the man invited him in. They sat and talked and said, oh, the gentleman said, Brother Jackson, I want to invite you back into this private place in my home. Said, I allow no one back there but me and my immediate family. He said when he went into his home, this man had a chapel, had a candle and an altar and had lights in that thing, and it was chairs and was set up just like a place of worship. And May said he looked at that and was almost astounded at what it looked like and what that man had spent on that little chapel. And Brother Jackson said, he asked him, said, sir, it's very beautiful, but said, why am I here? And the man said, I understand you're a great man of God. And I heard about you on a radio station just by chance in town today. And he said, I don't believe in chances, so I've got to believe that God sent you to my home. And Brother Jackson said, well, what is it you want? And he said, some years back, my boy died in a car wreck. And he's in purgatory. And he said, I know you're a man of God, and I want to buy your prayers for my boy to pray him out of purgatory. And Brother Jackson said, all the money you have, sir, cannot pray your boy out of hell. He is in hell without God and without hope. And all sinners that die outside of Christ go to hell without God and without hope, and their money will perish with them. It's not for sale, friend. You can't buy it. You can't buy God's love. Money can't buy love, but the poorest man can have both love and he can be loved. You this morning in here, you can have love, you can love, and you can be loved. I can love, thank God, and I can be loved. And we are loved. Thanks to the promises of that book, we're loved.
Let's not let that love wane cold in our hearts. Oh, that love that's been shed abroad. But God shed abroad His love in our hearts. That love ought to be a gushing up this morning like a well of springing water. Springing up to embrace the Lord Jesus in all of His grace and glory for His unspeakable gift to you and I. Why do we set on our blessed assurance, my friend, and let the world roll by us and act like that God is dead, our love is gone with it. Oh, may the well of living water within us spring up this morning and embrace Christ in all of His grace and glory and love Him as He deserves to be loved.
It's His wonderful name. You young people, learn to love Him. Amen. He loves you. Return that love. Embrace Him. I was sitting there when these ladies were singing this morning, begging God to spring up. Oh, well, we're about dead or 4 o'clock in the morning. Amen. Some folks would probably have rather stayed home this morning than come to church. Look for an excuse to lay out of the house of God. Man, I'm going to tell you, I try to look for excuse and reasons to come to church. Are you listening to me this morning? Hey, I come wanting Him to meet with me. He is a lover of my soul. Oh, Jesus, lover of my soul. Help me this morning to lift up my soul in adoration and worship to God, that I may love Him as He loved me. Oh, yes, I want to love Him this morning. And I can love Him because God first loved me. The Bible said that God, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent His only begotten Son into the world to become a propitiation for our sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Hallelujah. So I'm looking at somebody like a calf in a new gate. I want to say fourthly, that love is inextinguishable. It's like a fire, friend, that cannot be quenched. Floods cannot drown it. It's like a fire that can't be put out. Like a fire burning in our bosom. It's like those two men that were on the road to Emmaus the day that Jesus came out of the grave. They were so sad and disappointed and thought that the world had ended, just like some of y'all think this morning. World's ended. It's like them fellas been sitting in Sunday school, saw that magazine down at the barber shop on Saturday. Said, took it over to the magazine, had it there, said, scientists prove how world will end. Boy, I'm going to tell you, they're a bunch of intelligent idiots. I've got news for them. This world, the earth, ain't never going to end. Oh, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. People all throughout the age have been talking about the end of the world, son. The world ain't going to end. Time is going to stop and we're going to go into eternity, but the world will never end. If it does, the Bible is wrong. Unto Him be glory in the church. Worlds! I said worlds! And that means ages without end! Praise God. What makes folks think they found out how the world's going to come to an end? They idiots! Educated morons! Those men act like the world had come to an end. But after Jesus had broke bread and prayed with them and spoke to them, they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? When did it burn? While He talked with us? Maybe our hearts are not burning with that love because He ain't talking to us no more. Somebody said, well, preacher, how can I get Him to talk? Praise God, He's given you 66 books that are just plumb full of heavenly language. Pick it up and read it. Somebody said, oh, but Brother Hall, I don't understand it. Join the crowd. But like Benny said this morning, Brother Paul prayed for that church at Ephesus, that their understanding
might be enlightened and that they might have some wisdom in the revelation and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Have you prayed and asked Him to give you a little understanding? Huh? That's right. That fire, that love, that fire that couldn't be quenched, burned while He talked with them. And goes on to say, and while He, I can't even read my own writing here. And while He opened to us the Scriptures. How long has it been since they opened up something to you and that fire just went to burning down in your bosom? Oh, and that love, and you realized, because He loved me, my Savior died on the cross, was crucified. No greater love, I've lost the tune to it, has ever been told, ever been told. Oh, praise His dear name, He loves me so. Now I am His, He's mine, I know. He suffered it all because He loved me. Love came down on Calvary. Love arose from the grave. Love ascended back to heaven. And hallelujah to God, love is a coming again someday. Amen. You can't put it out, friend. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. But that love of God that's been shed abroad in your heart is like a fire. They said our hearts burn. The only thing I know it burns is something hot like fire. That love is like a fire. Somebody said mine's got cold. Now, I'm not talking about salvation. Fan it. You can't fan the coals of depravity and be saved. There ain't no such thing. But has your love gotten a little cold? I remember when I was a boy, we'd be down there in Pat's old place. And we'd build them little old toe warmers and take them old potatoes that we'd, pardon me, steal out off of Chester and Uncle Herman's garden. They didn't care. They watched us do it. They'd watch us get in there and crawl around, get them old potatoes, gravel them out, take them down to Pat's old place, build that fire, and we'd lay them little old potatoes in that fire. You know, we just like all other boys, we'd get carrying on, talking, and ratchet jawing one another. It wouldn't be long. Somebody'd say, "My, look, as I said, the fire's about going out." And somebody'd say, "Well, let's fan it." We'd get down there and take a little old leaf, a little old oak leaf or something, and we'd start a fanning, and that coal would start burning again. We'd put some little kindling on it and a little beer, and then a little bit, that fire start burning all over again. We'd back off from it, and then we could get warm and enjoy it for a little while. Right. Now, I'm going to tell you, if all you got left is an ember, just a coal, just a little warm coal, fan it a little bit. Throw on some little kindling of the Word of God and fan her a little bit, son, until the flames begin to burn. Then lay on the big logs, hallelujah. Throw on another log onto the love of God and watch her burn. And when she burns, you can start enjoying the flames of it. The heat that it'll put off in your soul. I read up there on Timmons Land and used to watch Freddie. I enjoyed old Freddie. I'd sit there and watch old Freddie burn. Boy, when he'd get low, I'd throw another log on the fire. Open up them grates and let the draft, let the wind, let the air draw through old Fred, through them coals, and it wouldn't be long till that wood start burning all over again. You know what we need in here? We need a draft. Yeah, we need a breeze. We need a little wind to blow. Amen to God on the coals of love. Somebody, oh, we're not dead. The love has just waned a little bit. And the fire's not burning as bright. But the love is unquenchable. It's yet there, my friend. It's yet there. It is yet there. Hallelujah. Well, that's my introduction. But now the verse says, many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man would give all his substance. Now, if I understand rightly in that verse of Scripture, that waters and floods and substance are the enemies of love. Many waters cannot quench love. Neither can floods drown it. If a man would give all the substance of his house for love, it would utterly be contemned. And so if I understand that correctly, floods
Waters, floods, and substance are the enemies of our love. They are hindrances. They are things that will hinder. Now, I'm not going to look at our side of it because, Lord, be my helper tonight. I want to mention a few things about us loving Him. But His love for you. Many waters cannot quench it. Floods can't drown it. Man, give everything that he had for it, it'd just be utterly contemned. Do you think there wasn't some enemies doing their best to deprive his heart from loving us? Come on in the house, children. Just like you and I have enemies in life that would try to rob us or rob our hearts of the love that He deserves. There were enemies that done their best to deprive you and I of the love that God has for us.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Preacher, you're a fool." No, 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 no. God loved and God gave His Son. And friend, there were some enemies, some things in His life that done their utmost to quench the love in His heart for you and I. You do believe that, don't you?
Amen.
You do believe that there are things that confronted Him, that tried to dampen His love for you. But if many, many waters couldn't quench His love for you. Though the flood rolled in like a tide, He kept on loving. Though the enemies like a great swell in the ocean rose up to drown His love for us, He just kept on loving. And keeps on loving today. I want to mention five of them, and I'll not be but a minute because you've got the bulk of the message. I want to say that sin tried to quench His love and drown His love for you and I. When His soul was made to be sin for us, or when He became our sin offering, oh yes, that sin done its utmost when sin was kindled on a sinless body. And His soul, His holy soul in prevail was made an offering for you and I. That sin, my friend, done its utmost to quench and drown the love. Oh, there's no doubt when the mockers passed by and all those that streamed by said, "Come down and save yourself," that the temptation was there, but He was in all points tempted like as we are, and yet without sin. Now I'm telling you, friend, don't you ever think that that sin was not an enemy that done its most to quench all. If we could ever get a hold of the horribleness of sin, the Bible said in Psalm 69, verse 1 and 2, and I want to remind you, I know that this is a psalm, but this is a prophecy of our Lord, and He cried out, "Save me, O God! Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me." I'm going to tell you what that was, sin. I'm going to tell you, friend, if we could ever get a hold of the fact that sin swept across His holy soul like a flood of many waters and tried to quench His love for you and I. And yet, my friend, His love could not be quenched or could not be drowned, but it drank every drag of sin because He loves you. My God, when we get a hold of that He loves you. He became sin because He loves you and I. Bless His name. Hallelujah. Save me, O God. Save me. For the waters are come into my soul. They're trying to quench my love for those that You've sent me to redeem. I sink in deep mire, God. I sink in this deep mire. I can't stand.
I buckle, I'm weak, my bones are all out of joint, and I grow weak, and there's no standing, but I push myself up, and I sink, and I push myself up, and I'm glad to thank God that He sank into the mire and pushed Himself up because of the love that was burning in His heart for sinners, and to do the work that God sent Him into the world to do. Hallelujah to God! Sin tried to drown His love for you and I, and it couldn't. And floods tried to drown it and couldn't. How shall He not by Him freely give us all things?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise His name. I personally believe that those words in Psalm 69 were spoken in the garden where His holy soul was made to be sin, and may have been followed by this verse in Luke 22, "Father, for if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done, Thine be done." Oh, yes, sir.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Now, preacher, He wasn't made sin until He got to Calvary." Oh, no. You forget, friend, if Brother Smith was here, he'd tell you that when that sheep or goat or ox was brought, that the high priest laid his hands upon its head, and that was a type of putting there his sin and the sins of the people upon that animal. And it was made to be sin before that animal ever died. I'm here to tell you that in the garden,
Amen.
When His sweat became as great drops of blood, it was there that He was made to be sin. And no doubt when He went a little further and fell on His face and sink in deep mire where no standing is. I'm come unto deep waters where the floods overflow me. My soul is being made sin. It's foreign to me. It's strange to me. I've never known it. I don't know what sin is. There's no guile in my mouth. I was raised in the presence of God, but wrapped myself in flesh and become a substitute for this people. And these sins of theirs are trying to drown my love for them. I want to say, secondly, not only was sin an enemy of His love, but the suffering that He endured may have very well been an enemy that tried to drown His love. Can you imagine that suffering? Look to the cross just for a minute and get a hold of this verse in Psalm 22:14. "I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels." Oh, what pain and what suffering. All my bones are out of joint. "If the Son of God come down." Oh, the suffering that I'm enduring is trying to quench my love. It's trying to drown the love that I have for them. But my friend, He endured. My friend, He endured the suffering, the agony, the shame, and the pain, and all of the agony of His soul and body and spirit, and all the wrath of God, and all the hell that He was poured out upon His soul and suffered. But it could not quench His love for you and I. I don't know if you know it or not, but I'm preaching this morning. Enemy of His love.
Amen.
I want to say thirdly that scoffers. Scoffers.
Amen.
Would be an enemy of His love. A scoffers that tried to quench His love and drown His love for you and I. And tell me what money purchased that love that endured that for us. But those scoffers. In Psalm 22, 7 and 8, it said, "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying he trusted on the Lord that He would deliver him. Let Him deliver him now, seeing he delighteth in Him." Go on, deliver Him if He's yours. They doubted him to be the... He was doubted as the Son of God in the wilderness. He was doubted as the Son of God on the cross. If you're Him, come on down. Well, we'll believe you then. I could have called. I could have called 10,000 angels. But He said He chose to die on the cross for you and I. No scoffers that mocked Him and ridiculed Him, just like the idiots of the day.
Amen.
Try to quench His love and get Him down. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Those same scoffers are here today, and they still can't quench His love for you.
Amen.
They can't drown His love for you.
Amen.
They can go right on accusing you and lying and talking about you. He'll go right on loving you anyway.
Amen.
I'm going to say, Psalm 18:4. He said, "The sorrows of death compassed me, the floods of ungodly men made me afraid."
Floods of those ungodly scoffers tried to drown and quench my love for you, but I just kept on loving.
Amen.
And having loved His own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end.
Amen.
What love. Bless His wonderful name.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Glory
Amen.
To God.
Glory,
glory, glory, glory,
yes.
glory, glory. Oh, and He suffered all that and kept on loving.
Shall He not love us also now that He has ascended into glory and is seated at the right hand of God?
Oh, yes, I say with the suffering past and the sin offering past and all the scoffings and the mockings past, awaiting the day that He comes in power, yes, He still loves us. I want to say fourthly, separation from the Father couldn't quench His love, drown His love for us.
Amen.
You get a hold of that? Psalm 22:1, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? Why art Thou so far from my roaring, from helping me rather, and from the words of my roaring? Where are You, God?
Amen.
I've been made sin. My holy soul is been darkened by the blackness of their sin. I've become sin for them, and now them and You alike have deserted me. Where are You, God? I bet the devil crept up on His shoulder and said, "Why don't You stop? All You have to do is come down, and the suffering's over. The scoffing's over. You can go right back to heaven where You came and enjoy heaven for all eternity, as He's done in eternity's past, so in eternity in the future. Come down. Why suffer? Why die such a death? Why be mocked? Why be separated from God?" I'm going to tell you why. Many waters cannot quench my love.
Floods cannot drown it. If a man was to give the substance of his whole house, it would utterly be condemned.
And the final thing, of course, you know before I ever say it. Satan, an enemy of His love. Mark 15:32, do you know what Satan said to Him? Somebody said, "Oh, it was a man talking." It was Satan, I believe, through that man. He said, "Christ, the King of Israel, let Christ, the King of Israel, descend now from the cross that we may see and believe." If you've got the power to take your life up, do it now. You know why He couldn't do it right then? He
Not until his soul tasted death.
Amen.
Forever and now.
Amen.
Lady, come on now. Get thee behind me, Satan.
Amen.
Thou savorest not the things of God, for I have come to do His will and not thine. May the will of God be done.
Amen.
I love them.
Amen.
With an undying, untiring, unchanging love. I love them enough to die for them. I love them enough to rise from the grave. I love them enough to return.
Amen.
I love them enough to forgive and cleanse and wash and make them my child.
Amen.
Enduring love. Water. Many waters. Not just water. Many waters. Cannot quench love. Neither can floods drown it. If a man was to give the substance of his house, it would utterly be contemned. Peter, lovest thou me? I asked you this morning, you love him?
Amen.
Your heart may be a little cold like mine, but that love can't be killed. I understand. Quenched means to put out, and drown is referring to death. That love is alive, friend. Maybe a little chilly. Fire may be burning a little low. But it's there. Let's stand together, please.